Let's turn over back to the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. We were there last week. We're looking at a blind man was healed, and the whole chapter is dedicated toward this incident. We started into it, but we want to look at the whole thing because God's really been dealing with that, because we need to develop in the Word as Christians. It's one of the things is we talk about Jesus Christ is the healer. We're looking at His healing ministry. What went on with it? How did He minister to people? And what were the things that took place? We need to know that, because here's one thing as I found out, that we're dealing with the same kind of things. He, just because he had, you know, with the Pharisees and stuff, it isn't like we're not going to run into these situations. We know how, have to learn how to conduct and handle ourselves in ministry to people. We have to know what to do, how we operate in it. Everybody wants to, let's just get down to the healing and run off to another thing and go to the, no, let's find out. There's one of the things that you're going to find this out. If God would use you, like, you know, God calls people, it's like with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin got called up to heaven, and Jesus Christ touched him on both hands and touched him and gave him a healing anointing. Now, you'd think people would be excited about it. Well, they weren't. He got in a lot of trouble. Don't you think because God wants to use you and do something through you that everybody's going to like this thing?
Amen.
And I want to, you know, just, you know where he got the hard time? In the churches, in the Spirit-filled churches. Because Jesus had him minister different than them. Because you know what? They had their religious ideas of how things went, and God came along. I just want to tell you this. The move of God that's coming is going to upset a lot of Spirit-filled Christians. It's going to upset them. I'm just telling you, they're going to be upset. Because they're not going to follow the patterns. God has graciously blessed much of what we've done in spite of us. Let's get down to the bare facts about this thing. We are not as knowledgeable as we like to think we are.
Amen.
The church today, the Spirit-filled church, generally runs without the Holy Spirit. They run on information. Information, hey, good information they received, but they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're going along doing this, doing that. Hey, all sounds nice and good. They say Scripture, that's good. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater than the Word and the Spirit. Nothing greater. Amen. The Word isn't worth anything without the Spirit. It's not worth anything. It's just words. If the Word itself was something, then anybody that would read the Bible would know what it's saying and understand everything about it. That don't work that way. So we need to get ourselves over is knowing the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Which to me, I found is the most wonderful thing in my life is learning to know the Holy Spirit, is because, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to the Bible. I'm not a scholar. I don't know if anybody can call themselves a scholar. We do that today and they put tags and tags on people, but I'm sorry. The only scholar I know is the Holy Ghost. That's the only one I know. I don't care how much I know about the Bible. He knows a million times more than I do. So I want you to get a hold of this. See, you have the scholar in you. Rely on that. Rely on it. He'll talk to you. Hallelujah. Thank God for, we're taught by other people. Thank God for that. But as nobody's as good as the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And He's your Holy Spirit. He's in you.
Hallelujah.
And get over into that stuff. You know? Because it's one, He's wonderful.
Amen.
You know? We get stupid and He'll make you smart.
Amen.
You rely, and He does. I mean, it's just, we go over into things, we mess up, and He helps us get out of our messes. And, you know, He's wonderful. And the fact of it is, I would not have a clue about Jesus had not the Holy Spirit revealed Him to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the more He reveals to me, the more I think, my God, Jesus is something else. He's phenomenal. Hallelujah. You know, we sang a lot of songs talking today about Him being Lord. And that's missing in the church. Lord is just a word today. No. Lord means, we sing that. We need to know what it is. Is He my Lord? Do I let Him rule over me? Well, I need to learn to let Him rule over me more than what I do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And praise God. Well, through the Holy Spirit revealing, you learn how to yield yourself. You learn how to yield yourself to that Lordship. Because that's what you want to do. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord.
Amen.
I want a Lord. Because I found this out.
Hallelujah.
The more I can allow Him to lord over me, the more He reveals Himself to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So I want Him to lord over me. I've lord over myself enough and it ain't worked well. Hallelujah. He's great. Now, we started in the beginning of the chapter there. I'm just going to read down through some of this. In verse 1 of the chapter, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must do the works of God who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." And we talked about that last week because people, and I've heard people teach it already, saying, well, see, that's saying God made him sick. Well, if God made him blind, then the works of God were already going on in him. So Jesus was going to contradict the works of God. Well, now, we know this, that God couldn't have done it. Now, wouldn't we think that his disciples asked him this? You think Peter was there? You think Peter was there? Well, Peter, what did he say in Acts? Peter said, "How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil." Well, he didn't say that. But we ran into one guy where God made him blind. This is one thing. See, when people take a saying like that and the church as a whole has developed an entire doctrine off of that piece of Scripture. God making people sick. Yet Jesus said, you know, a kingdom divided against itself will fall. It can't make it. Jesus said it himself. See, I can show you all these scriptures that speak opposite, and yet they built themselves an entire doctrine that God's making people sick off of things like this. Deny all the rest of the scriptures and then have on their door, "We're Bible church," or "We're this Jesus." What? But see, we don't do that. See, people got over the areas of walking by faith. It doesn't matter. If the Bible says something, it's true. If I can't have it or get it to work, the Bible's not wrong. There's something wrong with me. Something I don't know. Something I don't understand. The arrogance of man today, we refuse to admit our ignorance.
Amen.
We refuse. We're not humble enough to yield ourselves and say, I didn't know. We got to come to that place. I'm going to tell you what, that's the beginning on the areas of knowledge, is to stop and say, man, I need to learn. No person learns. It's one of the biggest things when I found when I went to Rhema, I just did this going to Rhema. I had done a lot of study. I had done a lot of things, but I went and I decided. I said, well, God sent me here. There's things I need to know. So I'm just going to consider I don't know. I'm going to sit and listen and let the teacher. I'm not going to go into this thing. Well, I'll tell you, I ran into students who were like, they thought they were smart coming in, and they left as dumb as they were the way they came in. See, you got to humble yourself to teaching. Even in teaching, whatever it is, you got to humble yourself to it. You might find somebody that might be teaching something and they're off base, but that don't mean that they don't know some things. You know, even in the natural, you know, I found that people weren't too bright in certain areas, but they had certain things that they were writing. Learn what you can learn. Glean what you can glean. Get what you can get. Like Brother Hagin said, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. Good principle. You know, learn to do that. So we wanted to, Jesus came along and Jesus is going to minister this man. In other words, Jesus saw that the disciples asked a question in which we want to know. We know from Scripture because the guy at the pool of Bethesda in John 5, Jesus told him to go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. So sin could be a problem with a person. But he said this child or something, the parents didn't do something, or they didn't sin or do something. Now you need to understand this. People can be sick from natural causes of things or things they do wrong that cause them to get sick. You can do that. You can do things that cause you to be sick. In fact, that's one thing listening. I have the testimony of a video. It's on a VCR tape. It was back in those days. But Fred Price and his wife, Betty came down with liver cancer. And they were standing with God. Now, they knew how to stand by faith. And they had both been healed at times and things and stuff. But nothing's changing for her. And he said, he came down to this conclusion. He sat down and he said, the devil can't just up and attack us anytime he wants to. He can't just go do that. Well, he can't. The devil just can't attack you anytime he wants to. I mean, he can't do that. If he could, he'd have all of us sick and we'd all be. So he said, he can't do that. He said, so there's something else here wrong that we don't know. What is it? What do we need to know? So they started seeking the Lord about this. And the Lord told Betty, he said, you have a doctor in your congregation. And he was a guy who dealt with cancers and stuff. She said, you go to him and you do whatever he tells you to do. Well, you know, she wanted to stand over in faith. She thought, you know, this was going to go on a lower level. But what she did is she went to him. And as he began to treat her, he started dealing with her about her diet. And it turns out Betty had about a toxic body. She didn't do nothing. The only liquid she ever drank was coffee. She never ate any kind of, like, say, of everything had was you know, certain cooked vegetables. That she would never eat any raw vegetables. She would never do anything like that. She was very limited in her diet in these things that she ate. And he said, you made your liver toxic. He said, you have more junk in your liver. And he got her over to eating right. And they said, we found out this. She was end up healed of cancer. God told her. He wanted her to go through chemotherapy. And she went through chemotherapy. She got completely healed. Which, you know, usually liver cancer is a death warrant. But the Lord told her, he said, you do it. You go follow. Listen to what he says. He said, I'll take care of you. And he did. But she said she learned the thing was this. If Jesus would have healed her, she'd have just ended up getting cancer again. Because she was still doing the thing that was wrong. See, you can do things in the natural, it hurts you. You know? You can do things, you know, it's like I was watching the thing of a guy, you know, killed himself parachuting off a thing he shouldn't have been doing, and he killed himself. Well, the devil didn't kill him. He killed him by doing something stupid. The devil didn't do that. You know, you do dumb. Dumb jumps on you. Did you ever have dumb jump on you? Yeah, that jump. I've had dumb jump on me a few times. See, I'm going to blame it on my wife. What do you think? No. You know, we do dumb. And sometimes, so things can happen like that. You know, some people, they try to blame something on, you know, some spiritual everything, but it's not. Some things are in the natural that we can do and end up in a problem. And so we have to know this. This is why you need to learn led by the Spirit. There's one thing is, I don't know me as well as the Holy Ghost knows it.
Amen.
And this is why we need to listen. When people just get in an area, and I've watched this in the areas of healing, people just keep pushing ahead in one area. Just, well, I'm just going to confess to it. They aren't paying attention to anything else. And you know what? There's many, you know, and I don't always like this as a minister, especially a congregation. God shows me stuff, and sometimes I wish He wouldn't. But I found people, they'll get pushing in an area. Most people, especially the areas of teaching and healing, they have only had healing ever taught to them from crusade standpoint. That's all they've ever had. And they keep trying to get everything that way, and you ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. There's things you need to know that the Holy Spirit, because dealing with you, number one, the Holy Spirit wants you to be well.
Amen.
And Him wanting to you to be well is this. He's not going to lead you into an area you can't go. If you're standing just to be healed, say without help of a doctor, and you can't go that way, God wouldn't lead you that way unless you could stand that way. So you need to know how you can stand. See, I know people, you couldn't get them to, they had picked their way to go, and I knew they weren't in a place to be able to walk that way. But they wouldn't listen. They won't listen. They're going to push in and away. Sometimes you have to do things. That's one thing is I've learned over the years. You know, I might step out in a direction, but I do what I've learned from Brother Hagin, listening to him pray. I used to go in my second year, I was able to go to prayer school, and I'd go to prayer school. I used to listen to Brother Hagin pray. When he'd come in and pray, I'd listen to him pray because, you know, I learned things about prayer, listening to people pray, how they approach God, what they do, you know, how they talk to God. But he used to do this. He would say something concerning faith. Lord, you know, word says this, and we're going to move in that direction. But if you want us to do anything else, you show us. We'll do whatever you want us to do. They didn't say, he never set himself in this hard thing. No, God, if you have something to say, you talk to us about it. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do on it. No, we can get pretty bullheaded. There's a time to get bullheaded when you know you're in the right direction, then get bullheaded. But, you know, but don't just get bullheaded and leave the Holy Ghost out. Not a good thing to do. People do that all the time. They get over set in a direction. You know, if you go, the word in the Bible, we find that people were healed many different ways. But today, we mostly pick one, we lay hands on a person, pray for them. Boy, that's the biggie. That's the thing. That engulfs all. And it don't. Jesus' ministry was nothing like that. The apostles' ministry was nothing like that. But today, we got this biggie biggie. And we put everything into this and say, what if the Holy Ghost wants to do something different? What if he wants to do, you know? What if he's doing something else? I mean, I've seen people, you know, healed, walk out of wheelchairs for many different things. I've seen people do stuff. I've seen people lay hands and pray for them. I've seen people just stand up. I watched Brother Hagin walk up a person, tell a person to get out of the wheelchair and run down the aisle. And the person jumped out of the wheelchair and ran down the aisle. But he did it that way. He didn't lay hands on him. Didn't touch him at all. Everybody else, I want hands laid on me. No, most people need to slap first. Then, because you got to get their attention. And I'm not kidding. A lot of people, you need to get their attention.
Amen.
They are listening to nobody. They have in their mind what they're going to do, and they have that in their mind, and they ain't listening to the Holy Ghost. They ain't listening to nothing. They're head, and you know, well, you know, I'm believing God. No, you ain't. One thing is that faith is only in the direction God's going. And you can be standing in faith over here. The Bible says this, but he wants to use that. You better get over there to that, or you ain't going to produce nothing. It's not going to produce anything. You listen. So one thing, as I get into situations, the first thing I've learned to do over time, I have a discussion with the Holy Ghost. Hey, if there's something I need to know to do, tell me what it is. If I need to know. That's why when I, you know, had the blood clot in my lung. You know, I wasn't any fear of dying. But I wanted to know, how do I get out of this situation? Have I done anything that caused the situation? Have I missed it? Have I sinned and got over the thing and the devil was able to do this to me? I want to know. So I see people, they just try to blast forward and blast forward. Don't pay no attention. Things don't work. That isn't how it works. Look at the Bible. Jesus, if Jesus said he didn't do anything that the Father, he didn't see the Father do. He didn't say anything that did the Father. Well, if he isn't, he's got to be hearing from God. He didn't just go, well, the word says this. See, the word people have become that. Now, starting off, they brought us people back to the word because people got off from it and brought them back to the word. And people got in extreme and carried the word way over here and left the Holy Ghost way over there. No, there's a place in the middle of the road. The word and the Holy Spirit. Powerful, powerful thing. Amen. And that's in the day that we are. And I tell you, people who stay the extreme on either side are going to have a tough time. They're going to have a tough time in this next move of God. They'll have a tough time. See, we don't want to go to stay in the middle of the road. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Allow God to be able to use you. He can. The Holy Spirit can direct you and guide you. Glory to God. See, I talk to him. I just wait around for him to say something. I talk to him. I ask him questions all the time. I don't know me. I got a lot of questions because a lot of, I don't know. So I got a lot of questions. And I ask. So you do that. Ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Hallelujah. Everyone who asks, it says, receives. So I'm guaranteed he's going to talk to Ed. He's going to reveal to Ed. He's going to do something to get. Like I'll get down many times. Like I'll go off to meetings. I'll get down there. There's questions I've had with God about certain things. I'm wondering about certain things I've heard. I thought God said. And I go to those meetings. And in those meetings, all of a sudden I get my confirmation. Oh, yeah. You know, this has been God's been talking to me about this. So I know. See, many people run off without a confirmation. And they're not so sure. And they call it they're doing something by faith. And they never did it by faith. They weren't sure at all. Wait till you don't do nothing you're sure. Hallelujah. Because you can't act on faith if you don't know. You can't act in faith. It ain't faith if you're not sure. Hallelujah. But see, patience, you know, you can go back and online. Mike did a teaching on patience. How many years has that been now? I don't know. Sure has stuck with me. Because I'll tell you what, and it does. Because I'll tell you what, that's the great fault of most people. We're Americans. And Americans don't pay no attention and just run over everything. Hallelujah. I learned patience, Ed. Stop it. Put the brakes on. That's not the American way to put the brakes on. Americans only have one pedal and that's gas. They ain't got no other pedal. So, praise God, I had to slow down. So, I tell you what, I put a break in mine. So I needed a break. Hallelujah. Well, we overlooked too much. But you know, in James, we're talking about sin. Just think about James wrote in James 5:15. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. He said, if he's committed sin, it will be forgiven to him. So in other words, a person can be sick because of sin. Why would he have mentioned if there's sin involved? Why would he have mentioned God will forgive him? Why? Because if there is, God will forgive you. Sometimes people need to ask God to forgive and repent of something to be healed. See, you need to know that. You need to pick that up. Do you ever say, hey, God, that's why I said, God, did I miss it somewhere? Did I do something? I want to know.
Amen.
Well, I want my faith to work. Amen. When I release my faith, I ain't playing no games.
Amen.
Man, I'm sitting there in a ton of pain. And I'm like, hey, I want this thing to end. Mm-hmm. If I need to do something, get this thing to stop, I want to know what it is.
Amen.
I want to know.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good time to hear. I will say this to you. I have never been in a tough situation that God has not spoken to me. Never. Never had it happen since the time I'm a young Christian. Never. But it's all, I'll just tell you why. Because it's always what I've believed and said about it. See, I believe God will talk to me. I believe he'll do whatever he needs to get a hold of me and do it. I always believe that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when you're in a hard situation, if you can't hear from God, hearing him in a good situation don't even matter. Who cares?
Amen.
If you can't hear in the noise of war, you're in trouble as a Christian.
Amen. Preach.
You need to be able to hear. You need to understand that. Most people say, wow, there's all this going on. I can't hear from God. That's a sign of being a baby Christian. Can't hear over the cries of your own voice.
That's right.
That's in the baby. Ah! And you're saying, shh, shh. Ah! They can't hear. Shh, shh, shh. You got to go, shut up! But I've learned that when something's going on, don't just start making a bunch of decisions and doing stuff like that. Stop and listen. Hallelujah. That's where that patience message will help you. That'll come in. You stop and listen. Hallelujah. That's the time you need to hear. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, it's never failed to bless me what I heard. Never failed to bless me. You know, I've been in situations, I mean, with people dying and things like that going on. I heard from God. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing worse than having a bunch of people around panicking.
Amen. Preach.
Worst thing you ever run into. Christians yelling, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. Oh, shut up. Oh, we're faith people. Don't stop and listen to God a second. I've always done it. I've just learned to listen. I thank God. One thing I had a very good teacher, Brother Hagin, to listen to, and I learned a lot of things from him. And I'm so thankful. Learned how to turn my ear toward God, because I sure wasn't a guy like that naturally. If anything,
Amen.
Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, I wasn't good at listening, but I was always doing something. And it wasn't working out well. Hallelujah. But anyhow, let's go on from there. So there's different reasons. But Jesus is going to minister to this individual. We want to go on from there. But Jesus said, you know, concerning about him being light, and he's the light. You know, in Jesus, there's no darkness at all. He said in him, there's no darkness. He's light, and in God, there's no darkness at all. And you don't look at sickness as if it's being light. Do you? And so, in God, there's no darkness. One of the things you have, you need to know for yourself. You're not going to minister faith to other people when you think God's doing things to you.
Amen.
You can't in confidence. They'll know in your voice that you don't, whether you have confidence or not. So the Lord told me when I was a young Christian, he said, people will grab a hold of your confidence. The more confident you are, they'll grab a hold of it. And their faith will take that. See, if you're not sure God's the one whacking you in the head, you're not going to go over there and tell him he's going to cure your lump. Well, you'll do this. Well, let's pray and ask God. Say, no, I'm going to lay hands on you. God's taking care of this thing. He's always taking care of it for me. He always delivers me. See, we want to say that. You know, we got to be bold with people. God will do it. God will do what He said.
Amen.
They need that confidence to know. Mm-hmm. Like people say, God's good. And then they'll say, you know, the good die young. They'll throw some stupid statement in there. God's good. And He'll kill you if you do real good. Ah, insanity. Well, Jesus ministers to this guy, and so we see this is not the normal way of ministry, but Jesus in verse 6 and 9 says, when He had said these things, He spat on the ground, made clay of the saliva, anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sin. And he went and washed and came back seeing. And I always enjoyed that. I really liked it because this guy's response, he just went and did that. But see, and I've always said this, you need, this is the thing that Lord taught me from the beginning, the actions of faith. In other words, Jesus initiated the healing of this man. So Jesus was the initiator, not the man. Jesus was. But yet, He still, God required the man to act in faith.
Amen.
See, many people, when Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord touched his hands, He told him when he goes back and lays hands on people, he was supposed to tell them that they had to believe that he saw Jesus. This is what he'd tell people. If you believe that I saw Jesus and he laid his hands on my hands, if you believe that, when I lay hands on you, the power of God will go into you to heal you. Which loads of people wouldn't believe that. They wouldn't believe that. They didn't believe it. And you know what? They wouldn't get healed. See, just because he had a powerful anointing on him, and which he did, people didn't get healed just because he had a powerful anointing. God required a faith. This is why when you go to meetings, a person may have a special healing anointing by God, but that's not gifts of healing. You're going to be required to operate in faith. Now, you might get some sinners come up there and they'll get healed just because God's blessing them to open their eyes to what God's doing. But it's just like if we would look at Oral Roberts' ministry, when you only had about 12% of people who were Spirit-filled Christians came out of those churches, only about 12% of them that went up would get healed at his meetings. See, they wanted healed like the other people over there who don't know much about it. This is why Spirit-filled people can't have trouble getting healed today. They try to get healed like they did when they first came into the kingdom, and a lot of it wasn't their faith. You see, a lot of Christians, and let me just talk about this. We weren't going to go there today, but I feel the Holy Spirit's leading, because you need to learn things. There's things we need to learn, administrate to people. When I came into the kingdom, God did supernatural things, but I look back after as I matured some, I thought, man, all these things, I didn't have great faith. Some of these things were great things, but it wasn't because of Ed's great faith.
Amen.
And when I looked at those things, I thought, God was doing this. But see, what people do is they go up and they go to church, they start off, somebody lays hands on them and they get healed. You know, the minister lays hands on them, they get healed. And they don't realize, this is called mercy. Which takes place by the grace of God. Why? To heal people. I've had people, I had a woman come to me one time and she said, I have a question for you. And later on, I heard Kenneth Hagin answer the question and I found out I answered it right, because she came and she said, when I first came in the kingdom, she said, I got healed all the time. And she said, now, she said, I go forward and get prayed. I don't get healed anymore. I don't get healed. She said, how come? What's the matter? I said, man, that's easy. I said, you ain't ever grown up spiritually. I said, you didn't get healed before because of your faith. I said, you're trying to do it faithless now. I said, God expected you where you get to the point where you believe God. He wants you to believe. And I said, you're not believing. Kenneth Hagin, I didn't realize it, but I heard him then talk about this. He said that in his ministry, he would go into churches anywhere from sometimes 3 to 9 weeks to teach. 9 weeks. See, that's talking about going to meetings. See, people want, they had revivals. You know why they had revivals? People went to church. But anyhow, we're both there. But anyhow, he said he would teach. Now, in those weeks, he would, in the morning sessions, teach on the areas of faith. And he would tell people, he said, now when we get down to the last weeks, he said, if you have questions in the beginning, you write your down. He said, you'll find that some of your questions are going to be answered as we go through in the teaching. But he said the number one question that he would get every time, every place he ever went, was what I just said here. People would ask, how come our pastor don't have faith anymore? He lays hands on me and I don't get healed anymore. He said that was the number one question. People, how come when I first came into the kingdom? How come? I'll tell you what, it ain't slow. I'm so glad listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching because I didn't get healed starting off with other people laying hands on me to begin with. I learned to listen to his things and operate by faith. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with people coming and having somebody laying hands on them, but you're going to have faith.
Amen.
And you ain't going to come and rely. Now, if a person has faith, I don't, you folks, the ones that know Larry Weick, they had him on because he had MS and they were injecting him with all these steroids. I mean, steroids that they probably wouldn't give people today. But anyhow, you know, they were doing it back then. But anyhow, to go off, you didn't go cold. They would have to, like with his steroids, they'd take a long time to nurse him off of that because if you don't, it'll kill you. Even if they give you milder steroids today, you ever notice you start to, the dose is big and then slowly back off? Because if you just stop them, it can actually kill you. You don't do that. Well, they told him he would have to go through all this period of time of nursing off of him, and he said he wasn't going to do that. He's going to believe God, and God was going to heal him. So Larry went, and he was at that time going to a very denominational church. Larry was born again, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost at a full gospel thing. Anyhow, so Larry said he went to the minister who was Father Jerry, and I had met him, and he said to him, he wants to have the elders anoint him with oil, and he was going, because he's just going by the scripture, he said he's going to be delivered of these things. And I thought this was really funny because they didn't really believe in that stuff. They didn't. But it was in the Bible. See, in the Bible, we'll do it, but we don't really expect anything to happen. You know, they did. But you know, Larry had faith. And Larry, cold turkey, stopped just... never took a steroid after that. No effect whatsoever. I mean, his doctor couldn't even... His doctor was like, what? You haven't been taking... Nope. Well, you shouldn't be here. But see, it wasn't done. You know what? Larry had faith. He just got them to do their natural part. But see, it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. It is not all the other. It is not the oil. It is not the laying on of hands. It is not. You know, somebody can't transmit to you what they ain't got. That's right. See, God told me to lay hands on people, and he said to me about this, and if I was true, but see, you operate in faith on it, is number one. See, the power of God is present. He said, you tell them you lay hands on them, the power of God will go into them, and they'll be healed. Now, it's dealing with the area of believing. They didn't, you know, they're just doing the ritual of it. But Larry believes. Larry is operating over in the areas of faith. This thing's going to work for me. So, I mean, he's got the elders of the church. He's got the minister and all of them. And he's the only guy really in faith. And they were as shocked as the doctor. He didn't know, you know. Hallelujah. Well, praise. And see, this is the areas of operating in faith. People need to know they have a responsibility. See, the Lord would never allow me to have somebody. When I first even started off, I'm a baby Christian. Lord wouldn't let me have anybody lay hands on me for sickness. He said, don't do it. He taught me to stand by faith. Got healed every time. Anything came, I got healed.
Praise God.
Anything, I got healed. Is because I had this revelation that he took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I never got people to try to pray for me to get sin off of me. He took my sin. See, I got a revelation. I got revelation that by his stripes I was healed. That was the big thing that God put into me. See, it's the fact of it is, I don't pray to get healed. I don't need to. I don't need to pray to get healed. I believe I'm already healed. Well, I'm not asking God for healing because I believe I already have it. See, where do you want to walk? This is going to turn. You need to understand the level you're at in your faith is where God can work.
Amen.
Now, I'm not praising Ed. Forget that. This is what Lord get. And I, because you know, I thought God was mean to Ed. I really did. I thought God was tough on me. But you know, he was. Because whom he gives a lot, he requires a lot. Amen. And over the years, he's revealed a lot of things to me. But you know, it's one thing that it is. See, he had a higher expectation. And he told me this later about that. He said, about teaching people. See, if you're going to teach people, he said, you can't teach people where you can't walk.
Amen.
You can give them information. But we keep trying, the church world's doing this all the time today, trying to lead people to a place that they don't walk to. Mm-hmm. I learned this from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would never teach what he could not make work.
Amen.
Hey, most of our big name ministers would be out of business today. Mm-hmm. Teaching all kind of stuff they can't walk in.
Amen. Preach.
Teach 100-fold they never get. I'm telling you. See, this stuff, Lord said to me. See, Brother Hagin, when God gave him a revelation of finances, he wouldn't even preach it or tell anybody until he put it to work for time on end that he saw that it started working for him. He wouldn't teach it to people. He said, you make sure that you do it. And see, I heard those things as a young Christian. See, you say, I believe something. Well, let's try to put this thing to work. Let's see. I want to find out, does this thing really work? Do you, you know, don't tell me all these wonderful things about God, but he don't do them.
Amen.
You don't tell me, yeah, God can heal, but he doesn't. You know what you just told me? He could be a nice guy, but he's a jerk. Mm-hmm. He don't want to be a nice guy. He's a jerk. See, I don't know that Jesus. I don't know that God. That is another Christianity. It is not true Christianity.
Amen.
It's not the true Jesus. It's not the true deliverer.
Amen.
Whether it works for me is my fault. He is always right. And what he said works. I just need some more information or maybe do something else, Ed. You're messed up somewhere. Hallelujah. You know, you can call me whatever you want, but I'll tell you what, I get upset people mess with Jesus. I owe him everything.
Amen.
It'd be going out like, you know, cussing to my daddy. I might knock you out.
Amen. Amen.
Don't mess with my Jesus.
Amen.
He's great.
Hallelujah.
I get to walk where he walks, and to me, it is the most fun. I always think about what phenomenal that God would even allow that.
Amen.
Would allow me to walk. I mean, my God. It's phenomenal. Salvation is such an incredible, wonderful thing.
Hallelujah.
And I don't want to ever minimize any of it. Hallelujah. But he's always going to be great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. But I want to just learn to be just like this. If this man, now we know this, we don't know that he ever heard Jesus is preaching or nothing from this whole thing. We know Jesus initiated stuff. We're going to find out he knew Jesus' name. But when Jesus told him to do something, he just did it. Oh, I want to be like that. Don't you just want to be like that?
Hallelujah.
This is a common man. He's a blind man. He's on the bottom of the totem pole of spirituality in that day, they consider. You know, if he had any spirituality, he'd never been blind. It's just like the disciples, who sins? Must have been somebody sinned that this thing happened. There was a lot of stupid teaching. Hallelujah. We live in a fallen world. Stuff will come knocking on your door sometime and you ain't done a thing. Hallelujah. You just happen to be here. Glory to God, but your faith will overtake whatever comes knocking at your door. Hallelujah. So you want to walk in the light. Now, we want to see this because we look at now what happens. A guy gets healed. And so in John 9 and verse 8 says this, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. And he said, I'm he. Said, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus. Now all he knows is this is a man called Jesus. He don't know anybody. We're going to find out he gets later on gets a revelation. He said, made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So he said, I went and washed and I received my sight. Hallelujah. Just like he said, I obeyed. See, that action to the Word said his faith not had been real great and strong, but he acted on the words.
Amen.
That's one of the things you'll find I'm always trying to do is get people to act on the Word. You've got to act on the words. Act on the words. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, your faith will never get great till you start to act on it. That's one of the things. Great faith does not come by hearing the Word. The Bible says faith comes. It don't say it comes great.
Amen.
No, you'll make faith great in your life. What you do with it.
Hallelujah.
You'll make it great.
Right.
You'll make the Word great to you. Mm-hmm. And the more you act, this is one thing. It's just like you can read a book on weightlifting, but you don't get big muscles reading the book. Although you saw the words. The words are there. All the words are there. Oh, and you want to run quick. I believe it's true. Glory to God. I confess I'm strong. I confess my muscles are big. Yeah, that's right. When you get out of the hospital and get over those shots, they'll let you do that. Because your brain ain't working right. What if I think that's crazy? Christians do it all the time in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with
Amen.
It? Well, you go act on it. Acting on the Word, just like there, acting on those words, doing what it says, produces natural muscle. Spiritual muscle is developed by acting on spiritual things. And when you're acting in faith, you're acting on things you cannot see with the physical eye. If you're operating in what you see with the physical eye, you ain't in faith. There's no need of faith of what you can see. Scripture tells us. It's we're acting on something you cannot see.
Hallelujah.
I'm acting like, I believe I'm healed, and I'm acting like I'm healed, and my body's saying, you're an idiot. And people will say, yeah, you're right, he is an idiot. Because see, they see, and they're acting, and they're talking, they're seeing. This is one of the, this is why Jesus got into so much trouble. He walked by faith among people who were sight people. It is, has never changed.
Amen.
If you want to be a faith person, you're going to be persecuted because what you do, if you just do what everybody else does, they'll like you as a Christian.
Hallelujah.
But if you do what cannot be seen and act like it's real, you're considered a nut. That's it. I mean that,
Amen.
Hey,
yep.
That's it. They don't understand it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that at all. But I know what it is. I didn't understand it either.
Amen.
Come over, taught it, found out this thing's work, and I'm thinking, my God, once I found out it works, you can say whatever, call me whatever you like. Oh, hallelujah. I just know I get the answer and you don't.
Amen.
That's where it goes to. Hallelujah. If you want to draw, you know, the non-sight people, they're the faith people.
Mm.
The people that don't see.
Amen.
Faith that can be seen ain't faith at all.
Amen.
We're acting on something. We're acting like something's true that no one can see. And then when it comes, then people get all excited. Oh my God, ain't that something? You know, it's like a person come to me one time, more than one person came to me and said, you know, when such and such, you made a confession about that. She said, when it came to pass, you didn't act real excited. I said, I already done my excitement when I believed I received it. When I believe, in fact, it showed up. Don't surprise me at all. I'd have liked to have it sooner. But it showed up.
Amen.
It was going to show. Why? Because it was mine. See, you get your shout. You do all your thanking before it comes. If you only thanking afterwards, you ain't got a clue what faith is. You didn't get it by your faith. You didn't think you had it. Hallelujah. I already got it. Hallelujah. And I praise God and thank God every day. You know, what isn't, what doesn't look like's happened to me is happening to me. I believe it's mine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, that's where faith comes from. That's what this man did. Guy spit in dirt and stuck it on my eyes and said, go wash. Does that sound dumb or what? Yeah. Oh. So he got down to pull the Siloam and wash. And said, oh, man. And he went and did it. You know, like a blind guy, he could just run down the street really easy and do that. Tradition says that there was a young boy with him, but we don't know that if it was. But I would imagine somebody got at him and took him there. I don't know. I hope it wasn't most people. They'd try to, why don't you just go over here and wash? You didn't have to go the whole way down there. Don't you? Here's Christians today. Oh, you poor thing. You shouldn't have to walk that far. Don't, that isn't God. He wants you to sit down and do nothing. That's God. And we'll take care of your life. You just stay blind and we'll look after you because we're so loving. Oh yeah, that's right. Whatever you do, don't ask somebody to do something that's difficult. It seems a little difficult because it can't be God. He'd never ask us to do anything like that. We want big miracles on a nothing faith.
Yep. Amen. Preach.
Don't happen. Don't happen. Hallelujah. So we want to walk in the light of this thing. Who is this guy? You know, he tells him, this guy, Jesus is the one who did it. He made clay, put his out. He says, then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. You see, he didn't know what Jesus looked like. Jesus could have been standing right in front of him. How he would have known? He said, where is this guy? I don't know. Look, I just got to see. What do you mean, where is he at? Well, but anyhow. Well, you find out things do not get easier after this. You know, the devil is always going to have people. One of the things that I've learned listening to numbers of people who had special healing ministries have said these things, that when a person gets, they talk about people getting healed of demeaning. He said, we found out that many times people, once they were healed, within a short period of time, there was a major attack against them to try to stop that healing, to turn it. So you need to. Brother Hagin said it and I heard others. They said many people lost their healings in a counterattack. Mm-hmm. See, it isn't enough to get healed in a meeting. You don't know how to keep it. Mm-hmm. Do you know how to keep a healing? Why? Think the devil goes, lays down and goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. Man, I could learn about that, man. Hallelujah. He'll show up knocking on your door trying to bring something. He'll show up. And see, many times it happens to be this way, developing faith. I remember this with Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn in his meetings, and one of the things that Benny Hinn had made question to some ministers. And Norval Hayes talked to him about it because he was having all kind of people getting healed in these meetings. In a short period of time, they all got the problem back. And he's wondering, what on earth's going on? What's happening here? And Norval Hayes talked to him. He said, because you're not putting faith into people. You're just turning around ministering healing out of. You're laying hands on people. You're doing that. And so the anointing in him and stuff and things would, people get healed. But he said, they can't keep it. He said, you need to teach healing. So what he did, like Brother Hagin, when Brother Hagin went to a church, his morning sessions, he taught faith. And then he would have his healing services at night. And Brother Hagin said this. He said, it takes about 35 sessions to fully teach the subject of faith. That's what he said. And I said, most Christians ain't even heard 35 different teachings on faith. They probably heard three. I said, a lot of Rhema people, I think they only heard three. They never listened to all Brother Hagin taught about the subject. He taught tons of stuff. I've learned so much from him about things on healing that you just didn't hear being taught out there, and which was really helpful. Very beneficial. People are listening. It takes time. And see, he said, and he made this statement because I started adding things together. He said, we never had in our meetings, he said, now that he would minister from 3 to 9 weeks. He said, in most of our meetings, he said, we never had notable miracles take place till after about the 3rd week. Healing had fully been taught and people started hooking up and their faith. See, we want, like with Benny Hinn, can't keep you healed. He can't keep you healed. See, we need to get this. This is what people want. I'm just going to get it, go back what it was. No, you're not.
Amen. Preach.
If you don't do something about it, learning. And so Benny Hinn, Norval Hayes told him, you need to start doing such. So Benny Hinn started in his he started morning teachings. They started having people teach on the subject of faith and put it, crusades. Some ministers did this years ago and some do it today. If you wanted to come up and get in the healing line, back in the 1950s, they started this. You signed up and you had to prove that you attended at least 5 healing teachings on faith before they would lay hands on you. Probably wouldn't have a church today in America. They'd already be dead. Yeah, they would do that. See, how many of you ever heard those things? Well, if you just sit around listening to preachers today, you'd never know much about much. But I want to know why those people were successful. Why? I want to know why. Why we're not today. That was a reason. They wouldn't lay hands on you unless you attend 5 sessions on healing. Well, see, with Rhema, I was at Rhema, and in fact, I graduated, but I stayed there that summer. We attended, and I worked at the camp meeting, and I was down in the handicap area. They had me with the handicap people, and what I did down there, Mwanda and I were in, but What you do is you try to get the prep the people to get their healing. You talk to them, you walk around, see, you just don't run and lay hands on people and do stuff like that. You find out where they're at. Now, Brother Hagin would do this at every camp meeting. He would come out the first night and he would tell the people. He said, and he would specifically talk to the people in the handicap area. He said, you make sure that you attend the morning sessions about healing and faith. That's what they did. Every camp meeting, they would teach faith and healing in the mornings, and then they'd have the Holy Ghost services at night, minister sick and do things like that, whatever the Holy Ghost was doing at the time, and that's what they would do. And while I was down, I found this out. The people who were faithful to come were the ones who got healed. The people who didn't come, they just wanted the healing service. They went home as sick and lame as they were when they got there. You know, I told you the things. One of the most miraculous I saw was I tell you folks about the girl who had diabetes. I mean, her skin complexion, she had it so severe. She was 18 years old, and her husband was 19. And she was completely gray. She was like a gray tint to her. And her fingertips were turned black. Never saw her feet, but her husband said to her, she's dying. This girl's dying. Now, it had to be difficult for her. Like, he'd bring her in a wheelchair, getting her up in the morning to make those sessions. But see, how bad do you want healed? Mm-hmm. You know, people get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get to a doctor, and they can't come to church at 9 o'clock.
Amen. Preach.
It's a sign of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to understand. Hey, we need to understand these. Amen. You can say, well, Ed's hard. No, I've learned this with God.
Amen.
Most people don't know him and don't know how he works. They think they can keep playing and they'll just alter. No, it isn't. You do what you really love and believe will work for you. That's what you do. That's where your faith really is. See, we have to deal with these things. I know it's hard to say, and it's rough on the crowds, and they don't want to come. They don't call Ed to come and preach this at church. You know, they don't want to. Because you know what? They've learned to make a lot of money. People think, oh, you're right. God will take. Oh, it'll be a wonder. And they never get anywhere. People don't get healed. They don't get delivered.
Amen. Preach.
Man, I don't see how they stand in front of people and do that unless they're so deceived. Because I couldn't honestly do that. I tell a preacher, I can't get up and say that. I just can't. I can't say those things. I can't make people feel it's all right when it's not. I can't do that. That's wrong to do.
Amen.
You know, I want to club them over their head, but let's tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't hear the truth, they can never arrive where they want to be.
Amen.
They can't.
Hallelujah.
But anyhow, she, every morning, faithful. Monday morning, he has her in there. She didn't look no better. And, you know, I mean, she's worn, this poor girl. I mean, your heart really goes out to her. I mean, and this guy, I thought, man, he loved his wife, this young man. And, man, he was just with her. I mean, you could just tell it. This is his love. He just wants her delivered. And God didn't deliver her because he just really loved her. He was dealing with the areas of faith. But she was there, and it was every night. And we were in there, and she came in, and Friday night. It was Friday night. Now Friday night, I'm down in front of him in the handicap area there. Him and her come walking down through together. And they come down. She looks completely normal. Everything looks just,
hallelujah.
It's like, my God. But see, she did what seemed hard to do. But see, she needed to get her faith in line. I don't care how much Jesus loved her. She would have went to be with Jesus. She couldn't have got healed on the earth unless she got faith.
Amen. Preach.
Amen.
No matter how much he loved her.
Amen.
But you know what? She did. She found that listening to the word on faith was more valuable than her just trying to relax more. She was desperate to get something. Most people that are really sick are not desperate enough. To go after what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
They go after convenience. They go after things. I can understand. You're in pain. You want comfort. But sometimes that ain't the way to get it.
Amen. Preach.
Sometimes that's not the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with there. It's like I tell the story. We had one woman, she got healed one night, got out of the wheelchair. Next night, come down in the wheelchair again. I said, what are you doing in the wheelchair? Well, this is good seats down here. I would have been good seats. I told her, I said, you're going to end up in that chair and stay in it and not be able to get out. Until camp meeting was over, she couldn't get out of her chair again. It's like I tell people, I'd sit in peanut heaven
Amen.
Before I'd have crawled in that stupid chair again.
Amen.
But she was stupid. This one thing I know, she didn't get healed by her faith. And she'll probably never get healed again. You don't slap God in the face.
Amen.
Oh, they tell you can. You know, he just, everything's going to be all right. He loves you. He knows what a jerk you are. Sure, he knows what a jerk I am. But I don't get to slap him in the face. But people are acting on these things and doing this thing. I want you to see concerning this guy here. We'll go through part of this here, but read down through it. Let's read this event. It says, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was at the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And he says that there was a division among them. There's a division in the Pharisees. And the reason this was is the Pharisees actually taught that ungodly people can't do the things of God. Now here they are. You need to see why Jesus dealt with the Pharisees like he did, because they were a bunch of liars. They knew that they were lying about Jesus. They knew it. That's why he made this statement about forgiveness and said, in other words, the Holy Ghost manifests himself like there and healing that man. He said, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, he won't forgive you. They are blaspheming by knowledge. They know full well. The Pharisees know this. But, so as we go on and read about this incident, and it says, verse 17, and they said to the blind man, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. He said, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He says, he is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Mom and dad throw their son under the bus. You think they'd be rejoicing, their son sees. But religion is more important and belonging to the group. Belonging to the group. We're in the right group. Oh, yeah, we got the right. Through us. Do you see what's going on? Nobody's rejoicing a blind man seeing. Let me see, if the devil did it? Well, God, I'd still rejoice the poor guy gets to see.
Hallelujah.
I was always thinking that the devil would heal him and God wouldn't, and let the devil get the praise. God shouldn't get any praise out of it if he didn't do it. Well, see, people need to get something between their ears. But they're not a blind man. A guy's blind from birth and gets to see, and all he gets is questions. And his parents throw him under the bus. No, we still want to get in the synagogue. We're going to denounce truth so we can belong to the group.
No.
You don't realize how much that's done.
Amen.
People to stay among themselves and among who they, you know, we're here in this group, yeah. I say people get delivered, get healed, get baptized, the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, but they can't leave that unbelieving church that they're in. Or they go right back to that thing and end up as dead as they were when they turned around and first got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Preach.
Why? It's more important. We want to stay there. I want to be in the group, you know, because my friends are there. Mom and dad go there and that stuff and this and that. I don't care who goes there. This is what I like. This guy says, goes on and says, therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind, said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Isn't it funny? Give God the glory. But this guy, who's of the devil, just These men are confused. Religion's always confused. Religious people are always confused. Then he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered and said, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? I like this answer this man got. This guy's already decided he's his disciple. He's already decided it. You know what? Now remember, he's grown up under the, he's heard the teaching, and now you're going to find out, he knows they're lying. He knows they're lying. See, I've been around ministers today and that stuff, and people around that stuff, and a person gets healed, and they, you know, oh, they denounce it. People of their own congregations get healed, and they don't like it. They don't like it. You know why they don't like it? Because if it was God, they have to admit that they've been wrong. And they ain't going to do that. Why? We got a crowd here. If I admit I'm wrong, some people in the crowd ain't going to stay with me, because they still want to believe how dumb I was believing. I'm going to tell you what. They always tell you God brings unity. I'll tell you, God will bring a bunch of division.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that's exciting, isn't it? Well, it said that they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. He said, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. I love this reply, this man, because see, he listened to their teaching, and now he's going to hear they're trapped. Because he's going to quote their teaching. He says, the man answered and said to them, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. He said, now we know. Now listen, this guy says, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do these things. See, he'd been taught this. He's throwing their teaching back. So what they're going to do, they'll end up throwing him under the bus. So they answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. See, this is their answer. You're born in sins. You're making us look bad. We can't. You know, what are they going to answer? They couldn't answer by what they teach. So, are you teaching us? Yeah. No, he wasn't teaching. He just told them their teaching. And they cast him out. See, the Jews didn't believe the devil healed. So they knew when they were saying he did what he did by the devil, they knew that was all lies. They knew it was all lies. And many ministers that go around and say the devil heals, they're lying too. The Jews didn't believe the devil healed. We picked that junk up and started talking that to try to justify throwing out the healing ministry. Well, Jesus heard that they cast him out. Said they cast him out. In other words, he's out of the synagogue. So they had taken him to the synagogue, down where the Pharisees were sitting. Down there are the big boys. They ain't happy he's healed. We'd rather have you blind or maybe even dead, just so you don't annoy us. We got a system going here, and we're running and ruling, you know. So, well, Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? This is interesting because Jesus directly went to this man and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who you're talking with. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He directly told this man, I'm the Son of God. In Jerusalem, he didn't generally do that kind of stuff. He didn't do those kind of things. He told this man directly, I'm the Son of God. And this guy, without all the teaching, snapped to it right away. Believed it, worshiped. See, believing isn't hard to do. You just got to quit being a skeptic. You got to quit listening to all the nonsense that keeps you into unbelief.
Amen. Please.
I found this. You quit listening to the nonsense of unbelief. Believing's an easy thing to do. People have struggled with belief because they're full of nonsense. They're full of all this other stuff, and they won't throw it out. They won't let it go. They won't let it alone. See, I give it. The Bible's right. Any other thing, it's wrong. And if other people want to teach something, it's wrong. Amen. Jesus is who He is. He's just like, He's never changed.
Hallelujah.
Is it? It's the Bible says it. And you're just going to have to move into line with it. If He says something that's hard for me to understand, I don't care. It's true because He said it.
Amen.
It matters not whether I understand it.
Hallelujah.
I refuse. I am called a believer because that's my nature.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Many people are called believers. I don't know why. It is your nature. It is your nature to believe God. It is your nature to believe believe what the Word of God says and Jesus says. It is in your nature. If you have the nature of God, it would only be natural that you should believe the Word of God. That's natural. I mean, because that's your nature. You're after. That's like saying, you know, I have a father who's perfect, but I don't believe him. You know. There's one thing as I got from my father, which I really appreciate, that my dad was a man of his word.
And
my dad said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. I to this day, I appreciate that because I learned to be around somebody who kept their word. Mm-hmm. We know very little about that in societies today.
Amen.
You know, you walk in a store and parents are there telling their kids, if you do that again, I'm going to take you home. And you know, after 20 more minutes in the store, they've done said it 37 more times and they're still in the store. And they're still going around. The kid knows, I don't have to quit doing this because these are two adults are idiots. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to, you got to get them, I'm going to spank you. And they do it again, they don't spank them. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to go home with me? I don't care if you're an adult, I might whoop you when I get home.
Amen.
Don't say it if you ain't going to do it.
Amen.
Because you know what? Anyone you said after that's been a lie. It's a lie. You're a liar. Don't train your children, grandchildren, anybody, that you're a liar.
Amen.
Be a person of your word. I was always thankful that my dad, I knew this, and my dad, if he thought something was, he would never tell me something that he didn't think was true. He was right. He didn't. Doesn't mean he was right about everything, but he believed he was right. He never tried to deceive. He never.
Amen.
Today, Christians are deceptive as crazy. Manipulative. Anyone talk in the areas of faith, I'm sorry, you can't go to that faith place. You have to have integrity. I learned that from Brother Hagin. Mm-hmm. Brother Hagin, he said, if you don't tell the truth and you lie and stuff like that, he said, you ain't gonna be a person of faith. That ain't gonna work for you.
Amen.
He says, because you know you're a liar.
Amen. Amen.
You know, other people think you're all right, but you know. Hallelujah. Now listen to this, what Jesus says in the ending of this chapter is really a good thing to climax the end, but he said, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world. Listen to what he said, for judgment I come. What? I'm sorry, we'll cross that one out there. Okay, well, I'll write a new version in just a minute. We'll get that one. But we have to understand what he said. For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees, see, there's some of them there around, he said, who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? See, there's a lot of guilt in these guys, which there should be. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you see, so we see, therefore your sin remains. Mm. See, one thing is, judgment is a wonderful thing, but the church don't preach it. The judgment of Jesus with this, it was either for blessing or trouble, one of the two. But judgment, you know, man can't, it's really the law, when God gave the law to man, man could judge and see what sin was. Up until that time, man couldn't judge. Man, lots of things men didn't know if they were doing wrong, right or wrong or what. But through the judgment of the law, men could see what was right or wrong. The whole point of the law to the Jew was for this point. It was to bring them to a place that they needed a Savior. They didn't know that. They thought the law was the epitome. The law wasn't the epitome. It was curse. Why? Because the light of the law even showed you were no good. And that was a dim light. Well, then you get Jesus in front of you and that bright light shines. But the judgment of Jesus, if you were blind, now you can see, you can repent and turn. Without judgment, you can't judge yourself. Without it. Jesus brought judgment in the earth. So you can see what's true and what's right and what's wrong. You can't know what's right or wrong. You can't see. He came as a light of the world. The world's walking around here. They can't see what's right. People are all messed up. He shows up and shines light. There's groups of people that don't like the light. We like, hey, where we're running, this is what we do. Judgment just fell on them. They will be cursed because they'll stay in their sin. Israel as a nation became cursed because they chose nationally to stay in sin. They didn't, no, that light showed, I don't like anything that shows that something's wrong with me. Don't worry, everybody knows. Well, did you ever notice that when people tried to hide, loads of people know? They don't know I'm squirreling. Yeah, sure. Keep believing that one. But see, light comes. And this is, to me, is the wonder of Jesus. I mean, I just love about Jesus. Is Jesus is the light. And when the lights come, you know, the Bible talks about looking in the mirror. The word's a mirror you look into. Well, you want a better image, you're going to have to change to the Word to become the better image. If you don't, you're going to keep looking in the Word, and the Word's going to judge you every time. This is why a lot of people don't like the Bible and Christians don't read the Bible, because it's hard for them to look at. They feel guilty doing it. They don't realize it's a blessing. That judgment that it shows, it's trying to get you over the place where you can see, because there's reward in seeing. When you see and you change, there's blessing. Yet people are looking in it. They want to look at the heal me God, do this for me God, but I want to stay in the same image that I am.
Preach.
I want to be the same image. I want to be that scarred up ugly thing looking in there, but I want the blessing. Mm-hmm. No, it goes both ways. It shows, the light comes on and shows you the blessing, but it shows you what's wrong. Why? So you can enjoy the blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, if we take, just from the standpoint, next Sunday we're going to talk about this, about redeemed from the curse of the law. It's going to be one of the things we're going to look at. Because of this, the fact, the majority of the church world doesn't even have a comprehension of being redeemed from the curse of the law. People read the scriptures. I can go around and word people, and they don't have a real revelation on being redeemed from the curse of the law. They don't have a revelation on it. People, we would not struggle in a lot that we do if we understood the fullness of that redemption, of what Christ did for us. And see, what happens? If we don't preach these things, the light never shines in those areas, and people never see. I'm so thankful that in the generation I came into the kingdom. I feel sorry for many today because they're not turning the light on.
Amen.
They're just preaching, you know, blessing. You know, no, there's things you got to learn. You can want the blessing all you want. You can try to believe for the blessing. But I tell you what, there's things in the scriptures that you need to gain to gain strong faith.
Amen.
So you can take a hold of things. Because there's always going to be things there. Devil will use people to try to steal your blessing right out of your hand.
Amen.
Try to steal your faith from you. People want to keep you on their level.
Amen.
I found this out. The further I would go up, I always thought, well, people want to come to something higher. No, they want to drag you down to where they are.
Amen.
My job isn't keep people down, it's keep people come up. When the Lord told me, first started pastoring, He said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. And I thought, boy, we're in big trouble. But I found this out when I started pastoring, because I thought to myself, man, I got a lot to learn about. And I got around people and even word people. And I thought, people don't know the Bible.
Amen.
They don't know the Word. They talk about being a word person. I hardly understand. They don't really know Jesus. They don't know the brightness of His glory, the richness of what He did for us. You can't receive anything you don't know about.
Amen. Preach.
You can't receive it. This is why we gain knowledge, so you and I can take a hold.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I want you to take a hold.
Amen.
I want you to take a hold of everything. I want you to see the glory of what God did to Jesus Christ. Redeemed from the curse. Another. The law had a curse, and nobody could live up to the standard of the law. Can you imagine no curse? No curse. Nothing but blessing. No curse. Now, people will rewrite the scripture and say, yeah, but. No. You got to receive that truth.
Amen.
And you got to stop. This is what I learned to do. If I'm having trouble in the curse area, Ed, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, well, you know, God has a purpose.
Right, right.
See, I'm going to let me off the hook because I ain't going to blame me for doing a thing wrong. God must be wrong because I'm so holy. And I'm so righteous and so wonderful. Or I'm living on the coast. Well, God loves me. He knows. Yeah, He knows you're stupid.
Amen.
Pay attention to work. Get such a delight in what the Word says and what God has offered you. Get such blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And I've said this time and time again, and I'm going to say it time and time. When the Lord spoke to me, why do my people keep asking for what I've already given them? Why do they do it? Why do they keep trying to get what I already gave? Why don't they just receive it and say, it's mine? No. No, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. No, He already... there's not one more blessing He can give you. So I'll just tell you this, guys. I must not know a lot about some blessings because I think it's fantastic what I know. But He said every spiritual blessing? I doubt if Ed knows about every spiritual blessing. I doubt if I've gotten there yet. Hallelujah. I don't think I've arrived. Every spiritual blessing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
See, when you run into something great in the Word, you stop and say, my God, He had already gave that to me.
Amen.
I'm not going to try to get that one. I'd be stupid. Why would I try to get? There's faithlessness is trying to get what's already given. You don't believe it belongs to you. When you get the faith, that belongs to me. Jesus won it for me.
Amen.
You got His inheritance, the Scripture
tells
me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He won it all. And we just got it by faith. You don't have to try to get your inheritance. It's yours. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, truthfully, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's the truth. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. We can smile going down here. You don't have to put ashes on your head. You don't have to do anything. Hey, now, and I'm not doing this. Now, you don't have to. We don't have to go through the motions to get. If we want to go, if you want to put sackcloth and ashes on, do it to know maybe because you want to spend time, you want to humble yourself before God. But you don't have to do it to prove anything to God.
That's right.
Amen.
We're not proving a thing to Him.
Hallelujah.
He proved Himself to us. He's called you to believe on what He did in proving Himself to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to do something, set ourselves apart and do something. We do it. We don't change God in these things. We do what we do to change us. I want to be more open to God. And that's not the fact of, well, you know, if I do this, I do this great work, He's going to be excited. Well, there ain't a, what work am I going to do that's going to match the salvation He provided? What on earth? I mean, it you know, do good, but don't good to buy a thing. You can't buy God.
Amen.
The only currency that God hears is faith.
Amen.
Believing what He did.
Amen.
Believing in what He did, not believing in what you do.
Amen.
Faith is based on what He did.
Amen.
What He said, here, this is yours. That's what He wants. That's currency. That's the currency of the land of the Spirit. That's it. To offer God your works, I mean, that's a slap in the face. I as a minister, I've had to hear these things all the time. It's like I've told you, people say, you know, well, God's going to heal me because you know, my family needs me. In other words, this kind of thing. You can offer that before. All He asked for was faith.
Yeah.
And we, what offering? We offer Him our need.
Yeah.
He already knows your need. He knows you need a lot, just like you. One thing I learned, I need Him. Why He saved me, why He found me valuable. You know, it's outside of my comprehension. We got a God that's so glorious and man was so messed up. And He stepped down and said, man, I want them people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What am I going to have to offer to Him after that? Hallelujah. See, I want to inspire. Inspired by faith. You believe on Him today what He's done for you.
Amen.
That's what He calls for. That's what He's saying today. You don't have to be a... You're not a performer. We're not that in the kingdom. We're not performing. We're just people of faith. That's all we are, believers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if we do any good, had to be inspired by Him because I knew I didn't inspire good. Before I got saved, I was not an inspirer of good. If I did something that seemed good, I was always done for my benefit or to make me feel good. I see Christians do that all the time. They do what they do is good, but it's for their benefit. They do it because it makes them feel good to do it. I always find this, God calls me things that don't make me feel too good to do it. Isn't it always fun to walk in love? Isn't it just tickle you all the time? Oh, we should love him. You know, just you get over that loving and smooch and stuff, and next thing you know, you're slapped upside the head. Somebody done act out of love, and now you got to walk in love. Say, dear Lord, let me be your vessel of vengeance. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. Hallelujah, Lord God, because of your kindness and love through Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're such a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, just to see you following your Father and healing that blind man, your love for humanity. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. It's just as you directed him so he could have the blessing of God in his life. Would you do any less for us today? No. Lord, no matter what level of the areas of faith on it, you'll help us to arise in our faith. You'll help us. You'll bring us to a place. That's your desire. Holy Spirit, we desire that you would teach us, instruct us. Hallelujah. Because we want to glorify Jesus with our faith. We want, if anything, Holy Spirit, we want him to know that we trust in him. That our confidence is in him. That we really desire for his lordship over us. We want that. And so I thank you. I just thank you today. Hallelujah. We have a faithful Master and Holy Spirit. You're faithful to fulfill his work and that you started in us. You will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. I want to thank you today because these are your people. They're bought by you. They don't have to get bought. They don't have to attain to some great thing. Hallelujah. When by faith they called on you. Hallelujah. They're bought and paid for. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you. Father, I pray that you give them a revelation of that today. Hallelujah. Of who their owner is. Oh, the best master that there could ever be. Hallelujah. That's their master. How much their master, Holy Spirit, reveal to them how much their master loves them, cares for them, desires for blessing. Hallelujah. Desires to strengthen them, give them vision. Hallelujah. Of the future and open their eyes to understand, Lord God, that they can walk in that glory that men, hallelujah, that can't see now, the light will shine from them and light will come. Hallelujah. That men will be able to see to come out of darkness to that light. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Father, that you gave us Jesus. Oh, you gave us Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, what a wonderful day it's going to be when we see our masters. Amen. And when all the body of Christ together is caught up. Hallelujah. My God, what that's going to be. What a phenomenal, phenomenal experience. Father, the greatest thing, I'm going to get to see Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To see him. To be able to touch him.
Hallelujah.
To know him as I'm known. Oh my. Oh my.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I understand why Paul said, depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Hallelujah. There's a longing within us, Lord God. But while we're here, we're going to live by faith. We're going to walk trusting, Lord God. And we're going to lead others to faith. Hallelujah. That they'll know that you're just not good by words, but you're good by deeds. You will do what your word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, as we go out of here today, we go in strength. Hallelujah. Father God, in this age and time, no matter whatever's going on, our hearts will not fail us. Hallelujah. We will stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. We'll walk with the armor of God. Hallelujah. Full of strength. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord God. We'll carry the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. We will not be overtaken, nor will we be overrun. But we will overrun all that the enemy brings before us. If any people can stand, it's us, Lord. We can stand. When everything's shot at us, everything's done. When you've done all, it says stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the smoke clears, we're going to still be standing. Hallelujah. 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 We're an army that cannot be moved. in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I preach me happy today.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I'm convinced God's good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Be blessed.